Michigan RV.
This land of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my power. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. Tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that evil flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my feet of God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. No.
Hey, everybody, welcome on into Monday, June 3rd, 2024 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us right out of the gate this morning on the line is Josh Saul. He is a candidate officially going to be on the ballot for the Republican primary in the 1st Congressional District. Good morning, Josh.
Morning, Randy. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Yes. Tell us about your day on Friday.
Well, it was a long day. We had the Board of Canvassers meeting that was convening to confirm who was going to be and who was not going to be on the ballot. And initially, the staff had recommended me to be removed from the ballot, but I was the only candidate in the state of Michigan who got the staff to reverse their recommendations, and I didn't even spend millions of dollars on a lawyer to do it.
Well, one of the things that I know a lot of our listeners responded to the call to action to send emails. I gave the link out, the actual address. And I know a lot of people listening sent them out. They also shared it with a lot of people.
Yes, they did.
Do you think it had any impact either on the staff or the Board of Canvassers themselves?
Oh, yeah, it definitely had an impact because before I even the way that it works in those meetings is you get 5 minutes to present your arguments and then it's Q&A back and forth with the board. And
yeah.
Before I even presented my argument, they had conceded to the fact that everybody would have known which seat that I was signing for because of all those affidavits. And as you know, as a teacher for the Roberts Rules class, the big thing that you have in those rooms is time. That is the thing that is working against you the most. So not having to spend the time establishing the foundation that everybody knew that they were signing for the 1st Congressional District really helped us to be able to make our argument of why the precedent applied to our case. So it was a really huge step in making us be able to be successful. So thank you very, very much to everybody across Northern Michigan who either got us signed affidavits in person or who emailed the board. Anything that you did, it definitely made a difference. And that is why we're now going to be on the ballot and why we have an option this August.
Well, even Officer Rick down in Livingston County said, I sent an email. Obviously, he didn't disclose, you know, that he wasn't a resident in the 1st District, but basically got their attention. So you're saying right out of the gate, even in your 5 minute opening statement, they had already conceded that prior to you making your 5 minute opening statement.
Yeah, the director of the Board of Elections, before I had even, while he was presenting the staff report, had mentioned the affidavits that they had received, and he himself said that I have no doubt that anybody who signed these petitions knew which house that Josh was seeking. So that really helped open up the ability to spend more of my time presenting the argument about why the precedent applied to my case. And that's what ultimately allowed it to win, is you needed both of those elements. You needed to be able to prove that no reasonable person would have believed I was running for a different seat, and that right. The precedent that the staff had recommended applied to my case to allow me to be on the ballot, not to force me to be removed. And we right. were successfully able to present both of those arguments.
Excellent, excellent. Now, after that part of it, the challenge by this person from Traverse City, I want to get into that after the break, because okay. it was a long, drawn-out process. What happened technically was you said they moved you to the bottom of the agenda?
Yeah, what they ended up doing is they tabled my agenda item. I was number 6 on the agenda, and they tabled me so that way the staff could have time to go back and review my petitions, because they had
done it initially. Got it. Very good. We're going to hold you through the break. Josh Saul is going to be on the ballot. We're going to talk about the rest of his day. We'll be right back.
Hey, Patriots. This is the boss of Veteran John, his wife, Jamie, in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth, Mega Water. PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, and veteran-owned. Go to megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of My Pure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation, or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Free spring inspection for your vehicle. Bring your vehicle to Royal Tire at 402 West Mitchell and Petoskey. Get a free inspection of your wiper blades, tires and wheels, a battery test, brake pads and rotors. Call to schedule an appointment at 231-347-1001. Make sure your vehicle is ready for summer. It's coming. Again, call Royal Tire at 231-347-1001.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Welcome back into the show. Second segment of hour number one. Staying on through the break is Josh Saul, who, as you heard
got basically the staff what would you call it, reverse their decision, Josh? Is that the best way to describe it?
The Board of Canvassers rejected the staff report and to remove me from the ballot, and then which allowed me to be able to get on the ballot. That was the technical way that it happened.
It happened. Okay, now then, by moving you to the end of the agenda, that gave the staff then time to go ahead and go through those challenges that were alleged against your signatures. Is that the process that happened next?
Yep. So as soon as I was getting up, walking away from the table, there a bunch of staff members that were sitting behind the dais got up and started walking out to start reviewing the signatures. And you could tell that they weren't exactly thrilled to be doing that. But I really appreciate all the hard work that they put into that, because at the last minute on the day where they're supposed to get to sit around and watch their bosses work, they got thrown into the fire. So very, very appreciative of the staff and the professionalism that they showed, and the ability to get through all the get through the whole challenge in one day. I think that showed a lot of hard work and determination on their part.
Now, how many signatures had you actually turned in?
I turned in 1,221 was 12, the final. Yep, that was
1,221. I want to be clear on this. 1,221, right?
Yes, that was the final number of signatures we submitted.
And how many were challenged by this person down in Traverse City?
273 were challenged by them.
Okay, so had they accepted the challenge, obviously, then you would have been short of the 1,000 necessary to be on the ballot, correct?
Correct, but that was one of the things that caused them to go take the staff have the staff go back and review the petitions, because I was prepared to argue the challenge in the meeting in public in an open hearing, and had my evidence and affidavits and everything to support our case to be able to get on the ballot. So that's and was in the process of starting to present some of that when they decided to go have the staff do the review, because it was such a close challenge. And that was one of the things I even said is, you know, it'd be one thing if they were trying to challenge half of my signatures. All you need to do is find that 52 of the signatures that they challenged are not legitimate, and we're good to go. And I've got 31 addresses that they said were in the wrong counties that I can prove right here are wrong. And some of the other challenges that they had were like, my campaign manager wasn't in the GOP database. Todd Smallenberg, candidate for the 106, wasn't in the GOP database. So the only thing that told me was that the GOP database was an unreliable source of information.
Your campaign manager and Todd Smallenberg. Right. Got it. Okay, sure. Now, let me ask you this. Throughout the afternoon, did you stay at the office there? Did you go out to lunch? How did your day actually unfold on Friday where they were reviewing the signatures?
We stayed there the whole day. I was sitting in the front row waiting for everything to get done for most of the time. I did have to step out here and there to handle some business that was coming through, but we stayed there the entire day and waited for the staff to make their determination.
What time did they come back in the session regarding your signatures?
Well, I don't have the exact time we came back in, but I called my wife to tell her that we won at 4:03. So we got there at 7:45 that morning, and my call to her, which was the first thing I did when I stepped out of the room, was at 4:03.
Of course, you got to call the wife first. Absolutely. Let her know what's going on. Let me ask you this. What did they, after looking at the signatures, after looking at the challenge, what was their official answer? What did the final numbers come in at?
The final numbers that they came in at was, without me being able to even review what they did, they came back with 1,055 signatures that were valid, based on reviewing the challenge and doing a second-faced review of my petition. So that was 55 more than I needed to get on the ballot. So instead of even trying to look at the data and break down and argue it, the exact thing that I said in the hearing was, I'm not going to argue with that.
Right. You're on the ballot, so why waste your time? Move on. Exactly. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Was there any reporters in the room monitoring what was going on?
Yep, there was definitely some reporters in the room, and there was some cases that everyone else seemed to be a lot more interested and prepared for a potential controversy with. I don't think that anyone walked into that room expecting my case to be the one that was reversed, but that's a perfect example of how God was in control of this, because I was representing myself and in a room where there was probably, if not hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars spent on lawyers, and the only person to walk out with the board reversing the staff recommendation was Josh Saul for Congress. And so that is a pure example that God was in control and he had his hand moving over this, and you could even see it on the board. You know, every single one of them, when they first started asking their questions, were showing some signs that they were extremely hesitant towards accepting our argument. But by the end of it, we got a unanimous decision to reject the staff report and allow us to be on the ballot. So God was moving over that room and he allowed us to be able to be successful.
Now, on my show last week, mm-hmm. I talked about a couple of news stories that people had texted to me. One of them came from the Alpena News, where the reporter over there had big headlines, you know, Jack Bergman to be unopposed in the Republican primary. Have yep. you had any interaction with any of those folks regarding the results of what happened on Friday, you staying on the ballot?
Yep, I reached out and told them that I would appreciate a retraction, and for them to run that Jack Bergman wouldn't be running unopposed. The indication that I got was that they might put out an edit, but I have not seen that as of yet, which I don't necessarily agree with. You'd think if you run the headline that a candidate's running unopposed 2 days before the Board of Commissioners makes that determination, you've got some pretty big egg on your face unless that candidate runs unopposed.
Well, one of the things I think, not just the retraction, but I think they should actually do a story on you regarding your race and, you know, yep. your background, your resume, things like that. So I hope you push yep. them for that. Do you think that's going to yep. happen?
I think so. I was in contact with the reporter and was actually scheduled to interview with him on Friday last week before the Board of Canvassers meeting got scheduled. So I think we'll set something up with him, and I'm hopeful that he will be fair and reasonable through this process, because luckily this election cycle, now Northern Michigan gets a choice. We don't have to be stuck with the same old powerful leaders who use access as a tool to try and manipulate people and to try and force compliance. So I think that we can show that I'm going to be a different and a better kind of representative. And I'm hoping that across Northern Michigan, the media will be receptive of that, so that way they don't have to worry about stepping on my toes and not being able to talk to me anymore.
Right. Well, I'm going to get into the story at the bottom of the hour, but, candidate beats staff recommendation to be taken off the ballot. Josh Saul, candidate for Michigan's 1st U.S. House District, not the 1st State House District, was the sole state-level candidate who the Board of State Canvassers approved for the ballot, despite the Bureau of Election staff recommendations to remove him from the August primary ballot over a technical problem with his petitions. I'll get into the rest of this story, but there were other races and other people. One of them, J.D. Wilson. What did Lansing have to say about him?
His challenge did not go as well. His recommendation was to follow the staff report and have him be removed from the ballot. I'm not sure if he plans on appealing that decision or not. It seems like I think at this point it would be a better use of the resources in Northern Michigan to put that money towards my campaign, so we can get a viable candidate that can actually defeat the incumbent instead of throwing money at a lawsuit that's going to end up being a loser. Because that's the hard part with his case, is I don't see a path to victory.
Right. In the story, they say J.D. Wilson, who created his own petition forms instead of using the ones provided, used the wrong font. That's all they said in the story.
Well, he used the wrong font. It wasn't necessarily formatted properly. And I think the thing that's really going to hurt him is that there was a typo with saying nominating position instead of nominating petition.
Right.
And all of those kind of technical errors and violations of the law and how you're supposed to present those are going to be really hard to overcome in totality. If there was just one, or if there was just one of those issues isolated,
right,
you know, you might have a better argument, but taking all of them in totality, it's really hard to try and overcome all of those deficiencies.
Right. Now, one other thing I want to ask you about real quick. Now that you're fully on the ballot and you've been able to contact people and different supporters, have people responded to the campaign as far as donations, getting you some money to start getting your message out there?
Yeah, we've been starting to get some more money into the campaign, and that's definitely helpful, but we're going to need a whole lot more. This is a very big undertaking. We've got 36 counties to try and cover, and as anybody who has run in this knows, you're going to need at least $1 million in order to be successful. So I don't want to be the kind of politician who goes to PACs to try and raise their money. I want to be responsive to the people. And one of the things I think most politicians aren't honest with the people about is that you respond to the people who fund you. And that is a natural inclination of life, because where the money is where the attention goes. So I want my attention to be on the American people and to the people of this district. So if I can put together a donation list of all small donors with $5, $10, $20, if everyone kicks in a little bit, then we'll be able to take down this beast and we'll be able to bring Northern Michigan representation back to the people. So that is my plan. And I think if you go to joshsolveforcongress.com and want to see Northern Michigan have a change in our representation in DC, that together we can really start to build the kind of movement that is necessary to create the change in this country that we all want to see.
Right. And to be clear, folks, it's Josh Saw for FOR Congress.com is the website. There is a donate button there. Also, one other thing that I think is kind of telling on this, has any other media sources, Detroit News, Detroit Free Press, anybody like that reach out to you to get you a big story in their publications?
Nope. I have not had any media reach out to me individually to try and talk to me about this, which I think was really surprising. You know, you'd think you'd want to talk to the one person who actually got the board to overturn their decisions, that you'd think that's the news story of the day, not the board accepting the staff recommendations for the other ones. But, you know, that's part of the game that we've got to play, is we've got to make sure that we get the word out there and get the attention on this case to where they can't deny us anymore. And if the people of Northern Michigan are spreading this around and making sure that we get the funds that we need to get everywhere that we need to, and to spread the message across the community, because that's the thing that is unbeatable. The more people who know my name when they go into the voting booth in August, the more likely that we're going to be successful. So if everybody can help spread my name to their community, tell them who they should be voting for, and that I will be a representative of Northern Michigan values, because I was built by Northern Michigan. That's the thing that makes me unique in this race. I'm a Northern Michigan boy, born and bred, and this is where my heart is. This is where my family has been for over 100 years, and I want to be able to represent this community the way that we want to be seen, with the values that we have built.
Absolutely. Well, I just texted you Craig Marger. He's the reporter for the Detroit News. So give him a phone call and see if he'll write a story for you in the news. And I'll work with you on some of the other contacts I have. But congratulations, sir. You're officially on the ballot, and now it's game on.
Yep, now it's game on. Jack can't dodge me anymore. So whenever you're ready, him and I will meet him anytime, any place, on any stage, as long as it's recorded for the people in Northern Michigan to see. And we will have a discussion of whose ideas are really going to take Northern Michigan where we want it to be and represent our community the way we want it to be seen done.
Very good. All right, sir. We'll let you get back at it. Thanks for coming on, giving us the field report from last Friday.
Yep. Thank you very much for having me.
Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.